All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Another Brilliant Ideas Radio show on Saturday morning. Here where we talk about food, fun, entertainment, and all kinds of things in between. And I'm here today, unfortunately, right at this very moment, I am sidekickless. I guess that's the word. Laurie is presently somewhere on the New Jersey Turnpike, hidden back this way, or somewhere. I don't know where she is. She might be shopping at Walmart. And then the wines are Brian, who's been taking a hiatus. I think he's showing up here later this morning. He probably forgot to set his clock. But at the moment, you got me, yours truly, doing this all by myself. And after 3 years, I guess I can swing it. First of all, I got to do what I always forget to do. For those of you who actually do not listen to the live show and are listening to a tape version, I found out that because of that, you guys don't know who the guests are, so I need to announce who the guest will be on the show in case you're downloading it to your iPhone, iPad, and you're sitting in your bathtub or you're working in your yard and you got your earbuds on and you're listening to the show. First of all, today we have Holly Herrick. Holly Herrick has been on our show before. She is a freelance cookbook writer. She's, I think, got 7 books, I believe, and she's come out with her new one now. This is her 7th one, I believe. It's all about soups and stews. So we're going to be talking about soups and stews with Holly Herrick, and she's a great guest. She's been on before, and most people know Holly. She's got a great website. So we'll be talking to her. Secondly, we're going to be talking about beer. I think it's called Roostaller Beer. I always destroy names. This is going to be one of those days where I destroy lots of names. I think it's called Roostaller or Rustaller Beer. They'll be coming on as our second guest at around 12:05. And their title or their slogan or logo, whatever you want to call it, is called We Grow Beer. And we'll be talking about hops. And they're out in California and how they grow their beer and make their beer. And then last but not least, this is going to be exciting. We've got a singer, which I placed an ad on Facebook and it lit up like a firecracker. Her name is, I think it's Kalechi. I don't know how you say it. Kalechi Ryder. She's known as the West Coast Cowgirl, and she'll be joining us as our singing guest, singing some country music, et cetera. And it looks like, yes, could it be? I think I do. I think I actually got Brian. The wines are. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning. For once, I was having technical difficulties.
Ah, you are a technical difficulty.
So I know I'm a technical difficulty. Did I miss anything good?
No. I was just rambling along here talking about who's going to be on the show and doing what I'm supposed to do because I always forget to do that. So I was following procedure and doing what I needed to. I'm by myself, just rambling along. Laurie's out on the New Jersey Turnpike or somewhere heading this way, so I don't think she's going to be on the show. And I was wondering there for a second if you were going to show up. It looks like you did. So what have you been doing? You've been hiding out. We haven't seen you on Facebook for a week.
I know I've been hiding out. Hey, but before we go any further, and thanks to Lori for letting me know, because I didn't, because obviously I haven't been on Facebook, but I want to give a shout-out to our good friend Rob Barnett, who apparently suffered a heart attack last week. And looks like I did go on Facebook to do a little reconnaissance. Looks like he's doing well and he's home. But, you know, I just wanted to let you know on behalf of Grill and Lori and me that we're thinking about you and, you know, get well soon. That's
definitely
scary.
That is scary.
That's really
scary. I try to make a joke of it. You know me. It's not something to joke about. But he was playing tennis. And I think he'd been playing tennis for 2 hours, started having pains in his chest, and he took himself to the hospital, and he almost didn't make it from what I was reading. I mean, it was touch and go there for a while. He was in ICU. So, Rob, if you're out there listening, we hope you feel better and hang in there. And the part that worries me the most, do you realize, Brian, I think his last guest on his show prior to this happening, Tuesday or Wednesday, I was a very last guest. So I don't know if I caused him a heart attack or what, but anyway.
Well, Lord knows what you caused me. God, I better go get myself checked out.
This is why I don't play tennis, by the way.
Yeah, we both talk about, you know, we would have said something funny, and I was looking, I was scrolling down and reading all of his little posts about this, and I'm thinking, if this was Saturday, I probably would have said, had you been back home listening to our show, this wouldn't have happened, but it was actually Sunday, so I really couldn't, but let's hope he's listening now, and we really wish him well.
Yes, Rob, we hope you feel better and get well soon and get back on the radio and do your thing. All right, now, I got something to rant about, and I'm going to get this off my chest. I wrote Brian that I want to talk about Walmart. He goes, why do you want to talk about Walmart? Because I've got something to say. That's why. As everyone knows, Walmart is one of my favorite shopping places. And, oh, before I do this, Brian, I know you don't like Walmart. Why do you not like Walmart?
It's hard to get into. It's more politics than anything else, and you know we've agreed not to talk politics on the air or personally, because as good as our friendship is, we might wind up shooting each other. So it's politics, you know, and there, you know, it's like I grew up in New York, and either you were a Yankee lover or you were a Yankee hater. So in the world there are Walmart lovers and there were Walmart haters, and I guess I'm in the hate category. So there I've gone and pissed off people again. It seems to be what I do best now.
Well, see, I'm a Walmart lover, so we balance each other out. We kind of like count. It was called Point Counterpoint. So that's kind of like us. And by the way, if we talk politics, we wouldn't shoot each other because you don't believe in guns anyways. I'd be shooting you at the end.
That's true. I find something else.
Anyway, back to Walmart.
I find a way.
All right. So I post, you know, I make my little weekly run, sometimes bi-weekly run to Walmart and get the vittles and supplies that we need out here on the range. And so I always post something about Walmart, and I went to the Subway. And by the way, the $5 Subway sandwiches are gone. They're now $7.50. What the heck happened there? But anyway,
yeah,
I was at Walmart.
I know.
At Walmart, and picked it on Facebook. Man, I get a whole slew of people talking about don't shop at Walmart. Oh, my God, don't eat the food at Walmart. You're going to glow in the dark. That Walmart's awful, blah, 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 blah. All right, first of all, okay, Brian, I'm gonna do a little mathematical equation here and a couple little questions, and you're going to be the guinea pig.
Okay,
Brian, have you ever heard of Purdue chicken?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I think there's a plant right down the road from me.
All right. Well, most people on the East Coast know
that
who
Tyson?
Purdue.
I don't know. It's one of those two.
Or Tyson, but Purdue Chicken. I'm going to use this as an example. Okay. And I used to work for Purdue, so I can speak at this sort of wisely. Anyway, Purdue Chicken. All right. So you've heard of Purdue. People on the East Coast know Purdue. People on the West Coast, by the way, don't understand and don't know Purdue. They're more Foster Farms out there. But anyway, Purdue. They have whole chickens at Walmart made by Purdue, and they're between, it depends. Sometimes they're like 89 cents a pound. $1.09 is their normal price. Now, I did a little research, stores here in the area, and Purdue was not on sale. It's $1.09 at Walmart. But I checked a couple other places, and it was $1.39 a pound and $1.59 a pound at two other places in town. So, Brian, here's my question. If Walmart is $1.09 and the other two places are $1.39 and $1.59 a pound, can you explain to me why it's wrong to buy Purdue chicken at Walmart?
No, you know that I never, ever take away someone else's right to do what they think is best for them. You're absolutely right. There's no reason why you shouldn't spend the 89 cents. I mean, I would say that probably as a company, Walmart is a lot bigger, and they can afford to volume buy bigger than some other companies, which is why
really
they can make the price cheaper.
Correct. Okay,
you know?
Here's another one, Brian. Ritz Crackers. You know Ritz Crackers, right?
Oh, I know. I've stayed at the Ritz once or twice, but...
Well, Ritz Crackers with peanut butter is nothing like it, but Ritz Crackers are $2.50 a box at Walmart. I did a little research. Those same boxes of Ritz Crackers at the other two places, I will not mention name, were $2.89 and $2.99. So, Brian, why is it wrong to buy Ritz Crackers at Walmart at $2.50 and versus going somewhere else and paying $2.89 and $2.99?
It's not. But you know what? Like with the chicken, except with chicken, I usually buy a name brand because sometimes the store brands, if you don't know, Ritz Crackers, I buy the store brand of, you know, Ritz style crackers. But you know, you're right. I mean, there's no reason why you should.
All right,
then
one more little, and it's a point to this story. It's savings, but also is another point. You know, my favorite party bag of Lay's potato chips at Walmart, it's $2.98. At the other two places, one was at $3.99. And the other was at $4.58. Now, Brian, why wouldn't you go to Walmart and buy your Lay's potato chips?
Because they don't shop at Walmart. That's all.
All right, here's my point. There's more to this than just saving money. Everybody always says, oh, my God, don't eat there. The food is bad. Oh, my God, you're going to go in the dark. Oh, they sell bad things and GMOs and OMGs and all that stuff. Folks, I've been in the food business for 30-plus years, and I'm telling you, the same bag of Purdue chicken, not the same bag, but same company and same plant that makes it for Walmart is making it for those other places. And this is where I get frustrated with people. They won't go to Walmart because somebody wears spandex or they don't like the clientele that go in there or don't like the politics. I do it because I save money and also get good quality products. And I know that all these companies sell good quality products to Walmart. So I'm done on my little rant here about it. But it cracks me up. People just get like all nasty when you say you go to Walmart. I'm like, for God, it's the same stuff. Now, if you want some fancy thing where you want to pay, you know, like $3 a pound for an organic chicken, knock yourself out, dude.
You know what? I'll bet you that the people that rant about you not going to Walmart don't buy Purdue and they don't buy Lay's and they don't buy Ritz because they're above that.
Oh.
You know? So they probably wouldn't shop at Kroger or Food Lion or something like that. They're probably all whole food, you know, let's go all natural, let's go all this, let's go all that. Well, you know what? I believe in trying to support the local economy. I believe in trying to eat as good as I can. But you know what? You can't. At the end of the day, it's so hard to do that. You got to think about your pocket. You got to think about how much money's in your pocket, and you do what's right for you. You know,
there are times when I buy
organic stuff. You know, there are times when I don't buy organic stuff. I at least I know what's going in my stomach. At least I hope I know what's going in my stomach. I have actually a contention with chicken, which is something I've noticed lately. I was shopping in my local Kroger's the other day, and they had, I don't know, it was like some house brand type thing. And it was like 99 cents a pound, whole chicken, and then they had parts and stuff. And I'm like, oh, great, you know, I'll pick up some chicken. And I'm looking at it, what, can you tell me why they have to put additives, flavoring, and, you know, it says that the packages will say contains, you know, at least so much percent broth, chicken broth. Why they have to do that? I just want a piece of chicken, raw chicken. I want to flavor it myself. You know, you
well,
have to
I'll
rinse
I'll tell
the
you
meat.
Why. You want a true answer as to why?
Well, yeah, I do. I do. I think I know why, but, you know, I'd rather hear from you.
It's called
capitalism.
You put flavoring in water and squirt it inside of a chicken, and they're allowed to do that to a certain percentage of the total weight of the chicken, and then you're paying $1.09 or $1.59 or $1.99, whatever it is. So basically flavored water. So it's basically done for profit, I guess, is the reason. And I guess
so. You're talking about weight rather than it acting as some kind of an enhancement because the chicken, you know, might not, you know, be over the hill, but it might be close.
Nah, it's done more for an enhancement of the flavor and also for financial reasons. Oh, I mean, you'll see pumped pork. Pumped pork's a big thing. Smithfield does that. And you'll see that it's like 15% solution. It's a salt solution they have in there. But a lot of it's for profit. A lot of it's for people who don't know how to cook. Most of it's for profit, I think. That's my take on it. So anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
one other thing. There is organic. There are organic things at Walmart, by the way, too. Just in case you're into that. They have a whole section of organic. They've got organic chicken. They've got organic fruits and vegetables, and they're doing the same thing Whole Foods is. But you know, God forbid anybody steps in there and shops at Whole Foods, but they'd never be caught live or dead in Walmart. But anyway, okay.
Well, the people of Walmart are very organic, aren't they?
Yeah, they're organic. All right, we need to take a real quick break here, and then I'm going to be bringing on our first guest. Like I said, Holly Herrick is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about her new cookbook, and this is a good one because I like soup anyway. You like soup, Brian?
I love soups and stews and things like that. In fact, my wife could live on soups and stews.
I'm a big one, too. I like to take that crude chicken I was talking about a little while ago? I like to take that chicken stock and make my own soup, all kinds of different soups and stews. So this should be interesting. We're going to be talking about soups and stews, and if I can get this thing to run here, we'll take a quick break and be right back.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, get yourself a Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com. Put in your zip code, and you can find a dealer near you. And it is the ultimate cooking experience. And I was catching crap last night for what I had on the Big Green Egg. It started off with several of my good friends who then piled on this morning. But it all turned out well. And I have to admit, that photograph did not do those pork tips, rib tips, any favors. But it was the lighting. It was late at night, and they do look kind of gray, but honestly, they were fantastic. And they were actually tan color when I took the picture, but the photograph was like they're gray. But anyway, they turned out great on the Big Green Egg. But,
yeah.
I noticed that, Brian, you jumped on the bandwagon this morning.
Well, but
you?
It was a good thing. It was a good thing I am on detox hiatus right now, because if I'd seen it yesterday, you know, I would have jumped on it and really bit on your back about it. So I just made one quick comment and then I left.
Well,
but actually,
you know,
speaking of barbecue, We can do this, of course, after Holly, but I'm going to play a little bit of a roving food reporter today and give you a report on a place I ate last night. So
yeah,
we'll find a place to fill in some time.
I saw that photo where you sent me last night. We'll talk about that after our second guest. We can talk about your trip to the barbecue joints. Anyway, let's go to our first guest. As I said in the beginning, Holly Herrick is joining us, and she's a freelance cookbook writer. She's been on our show before. She's come out with, I think, her number 7 book. It's all about soups and stews, and if this thing is working, we should have Holly Herrick. Good morning, Holly. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Grillion. Do you get me?
Yeah,
I
got you.
Yeah, you're here.
Awesome.
Good morning, Holly.
Good morning,
Talman. You're sounding fine. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a delight. I enjoyed your conversation there about the big green egg and Walmart.
Yeah, and Walmart, too. I figured you would. Well, you've come out with your number 7 book, and thank you for joining us, by the way, because someone of your caliber to come on our show, it just moves us up right up in the ranks. So thank you for coming on the show. But I was looking at your website, and by the way, you have a fantastic website. Folks, go check it out, too. It's www.hollyherrick.com. It's very well done, and we've got a link here you can click on and go look at it. But you've been a busy lady as usual, and you've come out with, I think it's your number 7 cookbook, right?
It is my 7th, and hopefully, I never have, I don't have children, per se, unless you count my dog, Tan Man, and my cat, Chucky Cat. But my cookbooks, all of them feel like children. So I've never heretofore picked a favorite, but at the risk of sounding immodest, I've got to say this is my favorite. I think it's the most beautiful, and I think the recipes are the most inspired and delicious, and I had a blast doing it, even though, yes, as you mentioned, it, I have been busy, too busy. 4 books in 2 years. Time for Holly to take a little break.
That's quite a bit. You actually sent one to Laurie, and I was thumbing through it, and your stuff just looks like you can eat it right off the page.
The photographers did a great job. It's actually kind of a funny story. Every book is different in terms of how it works for me, with the photographer and the stylist. And, I live in Charleston, and in this case, my fantastic photographer, Chia Chong, and her equally fantastic stylist, Libby Summers, are down in Savannah. They do work really all over the country. They're really some of the best I've ever worked, probably the best food photographer and stylist I've ever worked with. But if you can imagine, I think there's 30 shots in the book. So I made in my kitchen all the soups and put them in containers, ladles containers. That's a kitchen, a soup store here in Charleston. Put them in a big icebox borrowed from my neighbor, carted them down to Savannah with my dog, and set up shop there in their studio. It sounds so incredibly inelegant, which in many ways it was. The photography came out gorgeous. And I can tell you that each one of those soups, because I can't stand the food has to taste good to me too, because it just doesn't seem like you're cheating if it doesn't. So they were
right.
It was delicious too. So we really had fun, actually. I'm so pleased with it.
Well, I was mentioning before you came on how I like to make soup, and I'm a big soup guy when it comes to, after grilling on the big green egg and cooking chicken, then I throw them in the pot, and there's something about that smoky taste that changes the whole way, the way the soups taste. But I'm not real fancy like you are in your book. I'm pretty much, here's how I do a soup. I throw the chicken
in the
pot.
But that's not fancy. It's about extracting maximum flavor and building it in layers. I had the most remarkable soup the other day at one of my favorite little tuckaway places here in Charleston called Crust, and they're famous for their pizza, which is delicious. But the chef is a minimalist, and he used some smoky pork bones to build the stock for the soup, which was really just beyond that. It was just butter beans or baby lima beans. And it was one of the best things I've eaten in recent memory. I just was in love with it. And I wanted to order more, but they were out. It's so not hard. I don't know if you had a chance to read any of the book, but it's, to me, I think what I why I so much enjoy making soups and why I so much enjoy French cooking is because I think of cooking as sort of a, you know, a canvas that then you take that canvas and you layer it with flavors and textures, and you can really do that with anything you're cooking, like the soup you were just talking about. But I think what I love about soups is it's like the ideal conduit. It's a perfect backdrop for classical technique, because basically, if you basically know the technique, and I go through the book and talk about that, you know, extracting flavor, say, from corn cobs as they're simmering to build a stock or a fumé for a really delicious cream corn soup with shrimp, and you just kind of caress it and get through it, and you just have the most beautiful end product. It's truly a joy to make, and the house smells fantastic.
Well,
so
it all
looks
really, it looks really good. And Brian, I don't know if you had a chance. Have you seen her book?
Well, I mean, Holly, I think you know that I've been a big fan of yours, and I love reading your stuff on Facebook.
Thank you.
I think there was one day when I got excited because I thought you were actually in Richmond, Virginia, but you were not. You were mentioning something else, and I'm like, I want to go out and see, you know, meet Holly.
I think I was in Williamsburg.
Maybe. I hope to get back down to Charleston, because my wife and I spent a vacation doing Savannah and Charleston, and it's like the incredible eating mecca. And
it's becoming embarrassing. It's ridiculous how much delicious food there is here. I just got back from the gym. I was swimming. I try to swim every day. Because if not, I really feel I would turn into something very, very fat.
Yeah,
the food is so delicious. Like, there's a new place that serves the most incredible fried chicken. It's called Leon's. By the way, I have this new blog called The Permanent Tourist Charleston, or charleston.thepermanenttourist.com, where I write about all this deliciousness.
Oh, really?
For when you come. Yes. It's mostly about food, but it's also about wonderful things to do and see in Charleston, because that's the word I was looking for, is obscene almost. My friend that I visit in Williamsburg, the adorable one, also known as Pow, on Facebook, you may recognize that too, was just visiting and remarked as he was going through the newspaper how incredible it is. There's a gazillion wonderful, exciting things to do in almost every category, every day, all year. So when you do come, please let me know so I can connect with you, or at least tell you some of the wonderful places to go.
For sure. I have a friend that's actually going to be docking his boat. He's coming down from Annapolis, and he's going to be docking his boat and staying in Charleston for a couple of weeks. And he says, you know, you and your wife should come down. And I'm like, yes, anything to go down to Charleston.
Yeah, and it's also such a pretty city. You know, there's so many wonderful cities in this country and in the world. It's just such a wonderful combination of history and architecture, and, you know, the geography that wraps all around it is pretty exquisite.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your obscene cooking in your cookbook. And by
okay.
the way, my cooking is obscene also, but it's for a whole different reason. But in your book, what are some of your favorite soups that you have in the new book?
Well, that's tricky, because I really love all of them. I can answer your question, however. I think I had the most fun with the bisque chapter, because
okay.
And also I think it yielded some of my most delicious soups because I took the time to really extract the flavor from the shells and build it, and the result is really beautiful. And on page 88, there's a gorgeous picture of one of my favorite, which is the blue crab bisque with thyme and vermouth.
Mm, that sounds good.
It's actually really, really easy to make and delicious and so elegant. Of course, French onion soup, who doesn't love it? You know, really, do you know anybody who doesn't? I may know one person. It's really lovely and delicious. What else stands out? I love all of the stews. There's one that I actually am going to be making tonight because I got a craving for it. Another bisque I really like is oyster and parsnip bisque. It sounds strange, but the parsnip gives such a nice sweetness and mildness to the background of the brine of the soup base, and then the oysters just marry so lovely with it. Yes, I love the I love the Pinot Gris of it. That's what I'm going to be making today, is chicken braised in white wine instead of, you know, the Coq au Vin, which is in red wine. And I finish it with mushrooms and leeks and Dijon mustard and some more thyme. And it literally takes 45 minutes to make, and you could, it's just amazing. You could even braise this on the grill, by the way, on that big green egg. Put it
there
in the Dutch
go.
Oven. Put it low and slow. It might put some, a little bit of smoke into it. The cream of asparagus sounds kind of ho-hum, but I really love my cream of asparagus soup. Again, not to sound immodest, because it's got so much flavor built in, because what I did is I took the skin, you know, the tough part, the skin and the base tough part that normally, you know, that you normally take off and throw out, and I use that to simmer into the broth to make the base for the soup. And then the actual spears themselves, most of them, not all, well, all of them I roasted to get that nice sweetness at a high heat, and then pureed some of it into the base and then garnished it with the roasted spears. It's really got beautiful flavor. I really love them all.
When I hear you talk about these things, last time you were on the show and you talked about the things your cookbook, you're right, it is obscene. It's almost like pornography when you, the way you describe it, because I'm having all these
well,
all different types of soup right now.
Sorry, soup sex, I guess. I don't know, but no, it's not to be tawdry. No, I've got actually this year I'm working on, because I've been so entrenched in cookbooks, which I do love, I really feel like I need to move into a new direction, just flex some different creative muscles a little bit, but it's still connected with food. But I definitely am underway with a series of culinary romance novels.
Oh,
and
really?
I'm really excited about them. Yeah, because I do think food is sexy. I think cooking is sexy. I think it's sensual, really, more than anything. And because you really do, if you're doing it right, you are using all your senses, and it's soothing. And I think it's romantic. I think it's really romantic to cook with my boyfriend. I don't know. I'm weird, maybe, but it's a giving process. It's a process of giving and cooking for someone. So I think all those things are sort of parallel a little bit to romance and sexiness. So I think there's a lot of humor too, hopefully, in life. So kind of want to all put them all together. I have a first title. I just don't know if I should say it, but it's so good. But I don't want someone else to take it.
Don't. Well, actually, we like the scoop, but if you give it away, then someone else will copy you. So you should probably keep it to yourself. See, now, Brian.
Okay, well, I'll give you
the
second title, because I don't think it's as good as the first title. It's so good, but the second title is Paris Envy. It's about France, by the way, in New York, and cooking and chefs. And a friend of mine thinks I should make another one called 50 Shades of Brie, but I don't know.
Let's see, Brian.
The first title was the best one. I'm hoping
it's
going to be a bestseller. You can get tan me. I'm like all booted out and take it to Paris with a beret.
See, now you came on the show. The first thing you said was you've been very busy and you had done, what'd you say, four of them in a year's time, and then you need to take
in
a
2 years, yeah.
2 years, and now here she is already talking about these sensual novels, food novels. So no, I don't think you're going to be resting very long the way it sounds.
Well, you know, in addition to that, I'm in the process of trying, I'm actually in my realtor's office right now using his landline because I don't have one in mine. So he's showing my house. So I'm in the process of trying to sell my house I have a new one I think I'm going to move into. But really, truly, when all of that's done, I'm just going to, it's a different kind of work. Writing is always a kind of work, of course, but it's a completely new set of muscles. And I think that once I get underway with the process of, you know, kind of figuring out how to format a novel, that it's going to flow. I don't think it's going to feel as much like work. It certainly won't be as physical as cooking. You know, I was carrying my Le Creuset pots through my kitchen and my Dutch ovens are pretty heavy for really most of last year. But yeah, so yeah, you got to keep moving on, right?
Yeah, it sounds exciting, and it sounds like you're going to be busy. And I didn't realize that until we brought the subject up when I was talking about the pornography and the food. But that's pretty cool that you're coming out with that. And keep us posted.
But not
everyone
pornography. We'll call it naughty.
Well, that's what I call it.
Okay.
He's always complaining about my fancy food, so
Yeah,
it's what kind of fancy food?
It must be food porn.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's cool that America is finally waking up to the fact that, you know, food, isn't it kind of exciting what's been happening the last 20 years in your mind? I feel you know, when I was growing up in the, you know, here we go, 1970s and 80s, I talk about this in one of my cookbooks, Southern Farmers Market cookbook. It was just, I mean, it was just not sexy. Food wasn't even really that good, at least not the food that I ate. And, you know, Mom, God bless her, you know, even though much of the food came from our garden, which was wonderful, it just seems like there were so many Jell-O salads and, you know, I don't know, just prefab food, just not good food. And a lot of people didn't really know how to cook. And now a lot of people know how to cook, and they know what they're cooking, they know what they're doing, and I just think you see that across the board. I see that in my cooking classes. You see it in with what restaurants are doing. I think it's pretty exciting.
No, it is very exciting, and hey, that's why this show is actually being popular, because more and more people are getting into food. It seems like everybody's a foodie, and I'm glad. Hey,
the only thing that's bad about that is that foodies that don't know what they're talking about, foodies.
Well, that's me, and I do that every Saturday. So, hey, I've gotten away with it for 3 years.
No, well, I mean, pompous foodies. Those are the worst kind of foodies.
Oh, those are the ones, yes. Well, we really appreciate you joining us, Holly, and good luck with the new book, number 7. And anybody out there listening, go to her website, which is hollyherrick.com, and check out the new Soup and Stews book and all of her other books. And I assume they can buy the book on your website?
Actually, no, I'm in the process of getting that in the works. They can buy it on Amazon, most major bookstores.
Okay.
And or if they want, you know, they can also contact me at via my website, and I can get them one. But tell them, all your viewers also, or listeners, to check out charleston.thepermanenttourist.com, because all of the
definitely.
Book stuff is there, too, but also the wonderful news about Charleston.
Okay, and also you can find you on Facebook. You're easy to find there, too. Well, thank you for joining us this morning, and good luck with those romance novels with food, and keep us posted.
I will. Thank you, guys.
Nice to chat with you, Holly.
You, too.
Take
have
care.
A wonderful day, and delicious, too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, guys,
thank you.
Check out her website. We appreciate her joining us, and I'm going to take a quick break, and I don't know if you guys can hear in the background that there's a fire alarm going off in the background, but hang tight. We're going to play a little Chip Wilton, and then we'll bring on our next guest to talk about hops and growing beer and things like that. So hang tight. We'll be right back. The song is called Cook for Her Anytime. Be right back.
Well, my baby gets impatient when I'm cooking up her favorite sauce. She always feels better after she gets a salad toss. Her mama don't like it when I'm messing around in the kitchen, but my baby said I can cook for her anytime. She knows it takes a while to make a real tasty brew. She knows I like to take my time. That's what I need to do. Her mama don't like it when I'm messing around in the kitchen. My baby said I can cook for her anytime. She likes to eat real early. She gets too hungry if it's late, but she always feels better after I spread that sauce on her potatoes. Now, her mama don't like it when I'm messing around in the kitchen. My baby said, I can cook for her anytime. Her daddy never ever seemed to have a single thing to say. His daughter likes my cooking, so I come on in that kitchen every day. Her mama don't like it when I'm messing around in the kitchen. My baby said, I can cook for her anytime. My baby gets impatient
picking up her favorite songs, but she always feels better after getting her salad tossed. Her mama don't like it when I'm messing around in the kitchen. My baby said I can cook for her anytime. Her mama don't like it when I'm messing around in the kitchen. My baby say I can cook for her anytime. Her mama don't like it when I'm messing around in the kitchen. My baby say I can cook for her anytime. Her mama don't like it when I'm messing around in the kitchen. My baby say I can cook for her.
And we are back, and that was Chip Wilson, and I think that was appropriate, Brian. Messing around in the kitchen and cook for her anytime.
I think it is. But you know, it was interesting. When I started to cook, I was a vegetarian. Ooh, that bad word. I was actually a vegetarian for a little while.
Were you really?
My mother said, my mother said, I'm not running a restaurant. You make your own food. So she actually did let me mess around in the kitchen.
Well, we appreciate Holly Herrick joining us, and check out her book and go to her website like we were talking about earlier. And now we're going to go to our next guest. You know, we're going to flip gears and go from soup and stews to beer. This ought to be interesting. These guys are, I'm probably killing the name of their company, but I think it's called Roostdollar Beer, and they're in California. And if everything's working, we should have someone from Roostdollar Beer joining us. Good morning out there in California.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Oh, doing all right. Who we got?
We are great.
This is J.E. Pano. I'm one of the managers. We started Roostdollar back up 4 years ago. She was, it's actually a guy, Roostdollar. His name was Frank Roostdollar. He's one of the premier brewers back when Sacramento was the beer capital of the West Coast and the largest hop brewing region in the world.
Huh. So you guys have been doing this how long now?
Well, Roostdollar's been around since 1881, but we kind of brought her back to life 4 years ago.
Okay. Now, I was looking on your Facebook page and trying to get a little bit of information about you and what you do. So you guys grow your own hops right there in California?
Yeah, I mean, one of the opportunities that we have in Sacramento is we can actually grow beer. You know, if you walk through the grocery store or the soup aisle or whatever, and it says the word local, it's always where the stuff is grown. Whether it's the wine, it's always where the grapes are grown, not where they were crushed. The cheese, it's where the goats grazed, not where their milk was processed. If it's peaches, it's where they were picked, not packed. Only on the beer aisle does the word local mean where the factory is located. And that's because you can't grow hops in large parts of the world. And you can't grow them in St. Louis. You can't grow them in Austin, Texas. You can't grow them in San Francisco. And so that word local has been kind of tweaked. But here in Sacramento, we actually can grow them. And we used to be called the Napa Valley of hops because of not only the quantity, but the quality was there. So think back. We were the largest hop growing region in the world prior to Prohibition. So if you look at the beer map in 1918, there were 2,000 breweries. Now, there were no Super Bowl ads, and there was no Eisenhower Interstate system. So all these breweries were primarily local, little guys. Some of them were regional, but there were no national ones. And they all competed primarily on quality. That's how they differentiated themselves. And under those conditions, those circumstances, that they chose hops from Sacramento. And so Sacramento not only used it for the local breweries here, but we exported hops all over the country, and frankly, even back to the old world at the time. So then the beer landscape changed quite a bit after World War II, when there were primarily three breweries. So we went from 2000 to three. And those three breweries, Bud, Coors, and Miller, did not compete on quality. They competed on Super Bowl ads. And so hops became a commodity, and much like most commodity crops, that doesn't work here in California because of the cost of, resources and what have you. So the hop industry moved out of state, not because of anything agricultural, but because hops themselves became a commodity. And so one of the things we're starting to do, and we started 4 years ago, and it's taking some time to bring back, is to start growing beer in the fields and starting with the best ingredients we can. And part of that is the terroir, if you will, just like that influences what a tomato tastes like or what a grape tastes like. It also affects how the hop, the characteristics of the hops, and the hops are what gives beer its aroma and its flavor. So we're
going to be
parting a bit of Sacramento.
Probably a stupid question, but that's what I do here. All right, so you said that they don't grow hops in St. Louis and some of these other places and Milwaukee and all that. But so what is it about the air? I assume it must be the temperature and the weather that it's suited perfectly for hops where you are.
They need a lot of water. They like really hot weather. They are very susceptible to two things. One is mold, and the other one is mites, spider mites. These are little bugs. The mildew is what prevents it from growing abundantly and very well and consistently in large parts of the country in the Midwest, where in the summertime it can be quite humid. And that will actually, if that humidity level is too high, it will actually cause mold to grow on the hops. And that doesn't, unlike in cheese, mold in hops doesn't make for a better beer. So they love the kind of the hot, arid temperatures. We have lots of water up here in Northern California. It's a little different in Southern California, but Northern California has an abundance of water. And the soil's wonderful. We also get a nice breeze from the Bay Area every day. It's called the Delta Breeze. And that Delta Breeze not only cools the evenings down, which the wine industry loves, but it also adds it moves the air around, which, going back to that mold thing, it prevents the mold. It's another thing that keeps the mold at bay.
Well, my sidekick, Brian, he's known as the wine czar, but I understand he's also like a beer czar, and I'm sure he's over there chomping at the bit wanting to ask you some questions about beer. So, hey, Brian, hop to it.
I'm not chomping at the bit. I just want to drink. That's all. You might call me a minor hophead. I'm more of a wine guy, but believe it or not, if you were standing in my family room right now, you would see probably more beer than there is wine. and I love craft brews, and I was in retail before I worked wholesale in the wine industry, and of course, I was. I was in retail at a time when the craft breweries, things were just, getting noticed and really off the ground. And then I've noticed that stuff like Budweiser has gone up in price. I'm like, why? And everyone was saying, well, the price of hops, coming from Europe had jumped through the ceiling. And I think it's great that you've got the right terroir, the right climate, the right everything to be growing hops and to be making the beer truly made in America, made local. I think it's a great thing. Now, do you get your product out on the East Coast?
We just shipped 3 pallets to Florida. And that's the farthest east we've gone so far. We're a little bit in the Midwest, and we're talking to some folks in Texas, but the transportation costs are quite, difference between beer and wine is consumer level. The consumer typically, with wine, they'll pay a little bit more for it. They'll pay more than $10 for it if it's a good bottle of wine. But beer, it's tough to get a consumer to pay more than $9.99 for a package of any type, whether it's a 4-pack, 6-pack, a 22-ounce bottle, or what have you. And so the transportation costs are formidable, and so that has to be taken into consideration. So
yeah,
and that's why you see a lot of breweries, national breweries, have breweries all over the country because of to keep shipping costs down, and you also see some West Coast breweries moving and building breweries on the East Coast, and that's the reason to keep that cost down.
Now, were you making that point? How much does the water in a particular area make the beer taste different? Because
that's,
you know,
a
these
great
big companies
question.
Do have breweries all over the place, and I'm thinking, well, you know, Sam Adams is not Sam Adams, you know, unless it's coming from, you know, Massachusetts water. You know, if it's being brewed somewhere else, does it taste like Sam Adams? And, you know, I've always thought about that. You know, it's like we can't possibly get beer from the same, you know, brewery from another area to try to taste it. So I wonder, you know, what's your take on that?
Yeah, that used to be a very big influence on the beer, the water, whether the water was quote unquote hard or soft. The harder the water, the more, I don't want to say chemicals, but the more calcium, what have you, it had in it, and that would influence the taste. Now, what most breweries do, and I'm not going to mention any names, but they now use technology to neutralize the water and then to give it the character it wants. So now, you know, 200 years ago, people didn't really understand the chemical makeup of water and why it tasted different here and there. Now we do, and we're able to, I don't want to say control the water, but we are able to customize the water to how we like it for a beer, and so that it doesn't maybe have influences that we don't want it, and we can allow the ingredients to, and also just the general recipes that a brewer wants to come forward more. So it used to be a big influence. It is no longer, and I don't want to. I could go into details all day long, but there's reverse osmosis systems and there's filtered water.
I understand, but I was more curious to get your take on that, and you basically told me what I thought you were going to tell me.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question now. I assume most of it's sold in your area in California, but what do you have, like, different types of, I guess flavors is the right word for beer, but do you have different flavors?
Yes, we have three beers we do all year long. We have a nice balanced red ale. It goes really well with food. It's what's typically on draft at restaurants, on kind of chef-driven restaurants. We have a black IPA, which is a little bit of a – gives us a lot of creative license, because if I told you I was going to serve you a black beer, you're thinking a porter stout. If I tell you an IPA,
right,
you got to – everyone's tasted an IPA. But a black IPA, it kind of confuses – the drinker, so it gave us some creative license to do some fun things. And then we have a 42 IBU, IBU's International Bittering Units, kind of the measurement of the hop level, a very hoppy lager that's low in alcohol, 4.8%, but very high in flavor. And so those three beers we try to do all year long. And then we have a kind of a, I don't know, seasonal or one-off program, if you will. And the most recent one that we released last week is what we call our Hop Sack series, and our Hop Sack is a wet hop ale that we brew using hops from different farms. And this year we used hops from our farm, and then a historic farm, actually the last commercial hop ranch in California, that's about 20 miles on the other side of Sacramento. And same recipe, same batch size, almost the same hop varietals, just. They were grown in two different locations, and they produced two very distinct beers. And with a wet hop beer, what that means is when we pick the hops early in the morning, and instead of throwing them in a kiln and drying them so that we can use them throughout the year, we actually throw them in the brew kettle that day. And a wet hop weighs four times more than a dry hop. And so that extra weight actually comes from the moisture in the leaves, which has been influenced by the soil and the air. So the wet hop beer, it's the most frightening beer we ever make, because we never know what it's going to taste like, because you can't calibrate a wet hop. A wet hop, you can't stick under a microscope and come up with its kind of data point. So we truly are winging it. You know, after we brew it, 2 weeks later, we taste it, and we've done it now 14 times. One time we had one that we weren't too crazy about, but the other 13 have been delightful and all very different. And it really speaks to that the soil and the air and, you know, what the farmer did or didn't do really does impact the hop. And then if you allow that hop to really shine, if you allow it to express itself, now you're actually really coming out with a very distinct flavored beer that, you know, we could never do again. And that's exciting. It's a little scary for us, but it's exciting for us at the same time. And it's exciting for the beer nerd, if you will, because they're getting to taste something that, you know, once they drunk it and once all the bottles are gone, they're never going to taste it again. And
well,
that's kind of fun.
It's exciting to listen to you talk about it because you go into quite a lot of detail and you can tell the passion you have for the beer. And, you know, it's just like our first guest. I don't know if you heard our first guest. She was very passionate about her soup and her stew.
Well, you guys got into some pretty passionate X-rated discussion. So, yeah.
You know, you make – hey, brilliant. You know, you make fun of my passion for wine, but look, it's there. You know,
listen to these people.
They have incredible passion for what they do.
Now you can really feel it, and I don't want to say it sounds crazy, but it's like you're making love to the beer, and it sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to actually try it when I go out to California. I'll have to find your beer. Now, is it up and down the whole California coast, or is it just in a certain area?
No, we are. We're in L.A., San Diego, San Francisco, here in Sacramento, and up all the way up to the Oregon border. So you can find us pretty much everywhere.
Cool. Well, we really appreciate you joining us this morning because it was very, very interesting, and I feel like I need to go drink a beer right now. And
and by the way, you pronounced it exactly right. It rhymes with who's taller, Roostaller. You got it right.
Oh, Roostaller. All right. Well,
yeah.
Everybody, you've got a website, too, that they can check out if they want to find out more about your beers and get in touch with you. I've got things listed here on our page, and I guess you have a Facebook page also, but you can find roostallerbeer.com. Go find out more information. And thank you very much for doing this. It was very, very interesting, and I'm going to go get a brewski and take a break.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Hope that fire alarm
thank you.
Cheers, guys.
It was no big deal. Thanks
no
a lot,
deal.
Though.
All right,
guys. Go check out the website, roostallerbeer.com, and sounds so good. I got to check this out when I go to California, and
you better bring some back for me. Otherwise, you are a dead man. Forget arguing about politics. You don't bring me back some beer, you're a dead man. That's all.
I'll definitely do that.
Everybody's
heard
it live on the radio.
I'll bring you some. By the way, speaking of giving you stuff, I'm sending you your T-shirt this week. And our folks, our T-shirts came out fantastic. We talked about them a week or two ago, and we got the Green Ideas Radio T-shirts, the black T-shirt, long sleeve T-shirts. In fact, right now, if anybody is listening who wants to call in, if you want a free T-shirt, all you got to do is call 714-242-5272 and tell us what our last topic was about. What did the gentleman talk about? All you got to do is answer that question. I'll give you a free T-shirt. And while we're waiting for someone, you know, the phone to be ringing off the hook, as you know, Brian, you want to tell us about your little barbecue adventure before we bring on our next guest?
Sure. I mean, the day before, I had this kind of epiphany. I was on a mission for my company, and I had to do some reconnaissance, actually, in grocery stores because I guess we're going to tap that market. And I pull into one, and there's Q Barbecue. Q Barbecue, if you're not familiar, is owned by Tuffy Stone. Tuffy Stone is a guy that's always on these barbecue shows, judging everybody else and, you know, and trashing everybody else's food. And
I never
like,
knew that.
You know,
Tuffy Stone, I didn't know that. So Tuffy Stone owns Q Barbecue?
Yeah, and he's got one on the south side, and I didn't even know that there was one up closer to where I live. And I'm like, there it is. And it's a great, you saw the logo because I sent you the picture. You know,
right.
It's a pig snout with, you know, in the letter Q. And he's actually got little lights over the tables that, you know, that hang, you know, like chandelier things. And it's the same logo, you know, on the lights. But anyway, I'm like, okay, fine. I want to put him to task. You know, he's the guy who judges everybody else, I'm going to judge him. So I called up my wife and I said, be prepared to eat barbecue tonight. We're going out to dinner. And so we went, and I know I'm going to piss some people off, but I'm sorry, I wasn't impressed.
You know what? I was getting ready to say to you, don't please, and you just did.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a belly button. If you don't like it. Most things you don't like anyway. So just don't worry about it.
No.
Hey, Brian says it's so good. Usually it's pretty good.
That's not true. There are a lot of things I like, and there were things that I liked about the barbecue. But I've never gone to a barbecue restaurant where I was served shredded brisket. I'm used to getting slices. And the brisket was, it was shredded, which kind of let it to be dry, and it was really salty. I loved the ribs. The ribs were great, and they brought us a little sample of their chicken, and I'm like, the chicken is incredible. Why don't you just bring us the chicken and get rid of the brisket? And the pulled pork was okay.
Well, you know what?
In their
defense, brisket is probably the toughest thing in the world. For any barbecue to cook. I mean, and if you don't do it right, it'll come out dry because I've tried it. That's a tough one.
And I would say that any of these big name guys that are really not at their restaurants because, they open them and then they leave them to someone else, they're not really in control. And mass producing something like barbecue brisket when everyone probably, let's talk about, making love to your food. Every one of those briskets has to be made love to, and coddled to make sure that they come out perfectly. So I get it, I get it. But, it's like, okay, it was expensive because it had Tuffy Stone's name on it, but I didn't think it was worth the money. And I was about to say, you know what, Grill? I'd be willing to eat your barbecue off the Big Green Egg.
Well, then now you're talking. That you wait, I'm telling you, you guys laugh. When you come and have my barbecue on the Big Green Egg, that'll shut you all up. It'll be done. There won't be nothing for you to talk about, nothing for you to make fun of anymore. You'll just be saying, oh my God, he's a barbecue god.
I'm starting to come around, we've discovered I have a dark side. And speaking of dark side, guess where I'm going to be tomorrow?
Denny's.
No, you haven't gotten me that far yet. No, I'm most likely going to go to the state fair and eat something I've never eaten before. That's probably looks and smells and tastes disgusting, but I'm going to do it because that's what you do when you go to the state fair.
Well, we want photos. We need photos, and you can report back on state fair food.
I don't know how much I'm
going to
post on Facebook. I'm supposed to be on a hiatus, so I don't want to go back on my word and start posting pictures, and then people say, he's full of it because, he said he was leaving, and now he's back on the last plane.
Dude, it doesn't matter whether you post or not. We still think you're full of it. All right, I got to take a break.
Yeah, well, I know.
I guess nobody wants a free T-shirt. I'll try again. I'll say it again. 714-242-5272. There's got to be somebody out there who can, dial a phone. Do you want a free T-shirt? They're cool T-shirts. Call in. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be meeting with our next guest. This lady has got some great music, and she's also great to use for bait to get guys to listen to our show.
She hooked me. I'm here.
West Coast cowgirl. She's going to be joining us here in a second, and I destroyed her name at the beginning of the show, and I've been told in text messages that the proper way, I hope I'm saying this right, is Kalish Ryder will be joining us here in just a few seconds. We're going to play one of her songs. It's called West Coast Cowgirl, and after the song, we'll be back with Kalish Ryder. Everybody hang tight.
I've always had that country swag settled in my bones, but growing up full George and Garth never sang about my home. I'm no Texas tornado, I'm straight California grown, so I
got the West Coast Cowgirl joining us from California this morning. Good morning, Kalise Ryder. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good morning.
Yeehaw. Let me tell you, first of all, I don't know if you heard me a minute ago. I post ads on for our radio show each week on Facebook, and I get mediocre responses. I posted your photograph and posted an ad for you being on the show. Holy cow, that is the best ad. Can I use you for all of our ads in the future?
Sure, why not? That's flattering. That's so nice.
We need to get you in a Gray and Ideas Radio T-shirt, and I'll just use you for the ads. Anyway, thank you for joining the show this morning. I love the music. So a West Coast cowgirl, that's something you don't hear much of out there in Cali. So how did you end up being a West Coast country music singing girl out there in California?
Well, I grew up in a rural part of San Diego called Jamul.
Oh,
you know where it is?
I actually had a place in Ramona, which is not too far from there.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, my gosh. No one ever knows where Jamul is. That's so awesome. I love it. Okay, so you know, Jamul's come a long way, but when I was little, it was just a little horse town with no stoplights or anything. We used to ride our horses to the liquor store to buy candy. We're training horses and just little cowgirls listening to country music at the barn. And I loved country music, and I've loved singing since I was little. So I naturally started singing country music in choir in school, and it never spoke to any of us. It was always about the South, and still is that way today. So a few years ago, I was like, you know what? I'm going to write an anthem so all my girlfriends and girls on the West Coast in general can blast it in their car and feel like that's their jam. You know, that's their country song that is about them. So that's where West Coast Cowgirl came from. And I'm super excited about it because right now is an interesting time for country music. You know, there's a lot more country going on in California and all along the West Coast. And it's great. It's finally becoming like a big nationalized genre, like it should be. And I'm excited to be a part of it.
Well, you've actually got some really cool music. It's kind of got a sassy sound, too. It's not your typical country music, either. It's got more of a bluesy sound to it. And I love the music that you've sent to us. And I actually want to play another one of your songs in a little bit, one of my favorites, which is called Bar Fight. And I just have to ask you, is there anything behind that story? Were you in a bar fight that maybe made you write that song?
Well, I was never in the bar fight, but there's been a few bar fights that have broken out, I would say, in my college days. maybe because guys wanted to talk to me at the same time. I don't know. I might be a little bit guilty of that. Nothing that was intentional. But, yeah, that song just was born out of me kind of laughing with my producer about how, yeah, it is kind of interesting when you are a decent-looking woman when you're at a bar, what drunk guys will act like. And if they want to talk to you, they're just going to jump over the next guy to talk to you. So, yeah, this song is so much fun. It's about me accidentally, or a girl, if you'd like to just think of it like that, accidentally starting bar fights every bar she goes to, and she just doesn't understand why.
Well, you know what?
I love
Brian. Brian, our wine czar, has that same problem. Every time he goes in the bar, the women are, like, crawling over the bar trying to get to him and causing all kinds of fights. Right, Brian?
Yeah, from my wine knowledge, of course.
Yeah. But now you have an album out. I think you've got a CD, album, whatever they call it nowadays.
Well, I have an EP that's finished that I sell at my shows and I give to my friends and family, but West Coast Cowgirl, I just dropped the music video for a few weeks ago. It's being edited right now. That's going to premiere on Vevo in the next probably few weeks here. Then West Coast Cowgirl goes to country radio all over the nation probably end of November, depending on when the music video gets finished. So we're releasing that first, and the rest we're going to keep to ourselves because the next step is shopping for labels, and it's nice to have all the original material as part of your signing, you know, bonus, what makes you valuable. And I've spent years writing a bunch of great songs, and I'm really excited for the world to hear them one at a time. You know, it's a singles market today. People
right.
are, you know, you don't really release full albums unless you're Justin Timberlake or Miranda Lambert. You know, you've got to keep people interested. And so releasing singles is the way to go.
Well, it's great, great stuff. I really enjoy the music. And now you're not in Jamal still. You've moved to what, like Northern California? Is that where you are now?
Yeah, no, now I'm actually in L.A. I came here. They have
oh.
great recording and great producers here. And I thought about going to Nashville to record originally, but I was like, you know what? That's not who I am. I'm not a Nashville, Tennessee girl. Like, I love Nashville. I could one day see myself buying a house and retiring there. It's such a great, great city. But I'm the West Coast cowgirl, so I wanted to stay, you know, true to that and try to create a new flavor of country music. And I think the best place to do that is here in L.A. and kind of like infusing L.A. into country music. So that's what we've been doing,
no.
and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I think you actually got the right idea. Stay right where you are, because it is a different type of music, and I think it has, you know, I hate the word genre, but you kind of establishing your own genre there in L.A. that the and it's perfect, too, the West Coast cowgirl type of genre. That it's really good. I'm going to play the song we just mentioned a minute ago called Bar Fight, and then we'll come back. I want to find out, what does a West Coast cowgirl, since this is a food show, what do you like to eat, and what kind of, do you like
barbecue? Oh, I know. I've been looking at her pictures.
Oh, have you? Well, don't tell. We've got to leave everybody hanging on the edge. All right, we're gonna play her song called Bar Fight. We'll be back to chat with her in just a couple minutes.
It's flying 09, there's a fever in the air. Broken bottle, full throttle, it's a madhouse in here. Getting shitty, fit city, playing on the jukebox. Knob Creek, bullet need another whiskey on the rock. Another night out, and it's just my luck.
She was literally with me and just putting syllables together, going ka-leash, ka-leash. And
was it during labor? Was that what it was, during labor? Ka-leash.
Right? That's what it sounds like. It was probably pretty close. But, yeah, she was just spelling, you know, clapping her hands, putting syllables together, and decided to spell it C-A-L-E-C-H-E. And I'm really happy that she did, because over the years, I didn't like my name being butchered growing up. But now
right.
I love that I've never even met another Kalish, and the world is such a big place that I'm like, that really shows how creative my mom is, you know?
Yeah, it really is. I don't think I've ever heard the name before either until I got in touch with you. So that was a great song, Bar Fight. Now let's talk about food. What's your favorite food?
All right. Oh, my gosh. My favorite food that's good for me, or?
No, it doesn't have to be good for you. I don't eat anything good for me. What is your favorite food?
So my favorite food ever, my favorite type of food is Mexican food. And if I weren't a girl who was concerned about, you know, staying in shape, I would be eating chicken enchiladas. My mom makes the best homemade chicken enchiladas with lots of cheese and a homemade sauce that takes her hours to make. That's awesome. But when I'm being good, what I usually eat is like a Southwest salad, which is like my version of Mexican food, so I get my salsa and all my spice. But honestly, my number one favorite food, if I had to pick one food, is jalapenos. I ask any of my friends.
I saw the picture.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with jalapenos. It's the weirdest thing. I eat them with everything, literally, as long as it's not ice cream. I will be eating, like, and we're not just one. I'll eat, like, 5, sometimes 7 jalapenos in a sitting.
No,
I don't know why. I just crave them.
there's a bunch of hot sauce guys out there right now that we deal with that are probably like the trip of themselves right now trying to come up with a Kalish hot sauce. They're gonna be contacting you. I can tell you, all made out of jalapenos. You watch.
Bring it on! I love it. I also love serranos, but those are sometimes harder to find. But yeah, it's kind of a problem. My friends and family are like, really? Really? A side of jalapenos with everything? I'm like, yeah, it just makes it so much better.
Now, do you eat them? You do them straight up, just eat them, not cleaning up anything on the inside, the seeds or anything? You just like them as they are, huh?
Yeah. I'll eat them raw, with like dipped in hummus, with the seeds and everything. Or sometimes I'll eat them pickled, although I've been really lately into them fresh for some reason. The pickled is a little bit too salty lately. But
right.
I'll eat them raw, or I'll chop them up and put them in my soup or on my salad or in whatever it is that I'm eating. But, yeah, I love them. And I have a tolerance now for them. So it's crazy how many I can eat, and I'm fine. But anybody else would be crying after one small bite, you know?
Let me give you a recipe that I tried. It was like 2 weeks ago. Have you ever had jalapenos with stuff with peanut butter?
No.
All right, here's what you
gross,
do.
Though.
Here's what you
good?
Do. Take the jalapenos and stuff them with raspberry preserves,
okay,
peanut butter, and a small clove of garlic, and then roast them on a grill. It is the most amazing thing, because you've got the hot, and then you've got also the inside with the sweet and the peanut butter. Everybody, oh, and by the way, too, you can wrap those in bacon, too, if you'd like, but I've done them both ways. I'm telling you,
wow.
It sounds crazy, but try it out. Since you like jalapenos, try it out. Let me know what you think.
Ooh, that actually sounds really good, the way you just described it. I'll definitely try that. I grill a lot, actually. I love grilling kebabs, because that's a really healthy way to eat, you know. I'll do steak, kebabs. I grill my jalapenos. I get different peppers and grill them. And usually no carbs, really. I'm kind of boring that way, but it's just better for you, you know.
She's just a meat-eating West Coast cowgirl. That's what it is. And jalapenos.
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
All right. Now, where are you going to be at? I guess you got concerts and things coming up the next few months. Where can people find you?
Yeah. Well, I actually just performed at the Sweet Potato Festival in Livingston. You were there, right?
No, I didn't make it. I was asked to go, but I had something else come up. But I'm heading out there. I think there's another event in October that I'm going to. But, yeah, I heard that was a big event. So you played at the Sweet Potato Festival, and was it a big turnout?
Yeah, it was great. One of my liquor sponsors is you might have heard of him, Corbin Sweet Potato Spirit, David Souza.
Yes, as a matter of fact, he used to be one of our sponsors, and for some reason he dropped it. I don't know what I did, but oh yeah, he's got great vodka.
Yeah, and you know, have you tried his whiskey? His whiskey, I think, is a newer spirit that he has, but it's great. As you know, it's all farm to bottle, so it's all sweet potato, it's gluten-free, it's small batch, it's really good. But anyway, so they brought me to the festival, my band and I, to perform, and I actually just got back some of the performance videos, so as soon as I have it, you know, sliced into smaller pieces, because it's a whole huge concert, I'll post them on your page.
All right.
Yeah, but October for me is actually pretty show-wise. I've been going like crazy, and I had a few festivals in September. October for me is pretty slow. November, I'm performing at the Cystic Fibrosis Gala in San Diego. But for us, October is more about launching the music video and trying to get as many views as possible on that bad boy. So I would love to shoot it out to you when it's ready, hopefully in the next few weeks.
Definitely.
And have yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting.
I bet. It sounds like it is. And everybody, too, if you want to find out more about Kalish Ryder, you can go to her website. And as she said, it's www.kalisherider.com. And you can find out more about her and her appearances and her music. And we really appreciate you taking time to be on our show today and love the music. Keep us posted when the video comes out and any new music you may have. You're always welcome to come back on.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys have been awesome.
Well, thank you. Come back and see us. I just figured out why the sweet potato vodka guy got rid of me, because he found you. Let me see. Great ideas or police, huh? Let's see. Where do we want to spend our money? Take
oh my
care.
Gosh.
Thanks, police.
Hey, right, thanks for the jalapeno tip.
Hey, you're welcome. Try it out and let me know.
I will. I'll let you know.
All right, guys. I cut her off by mistake. Oh, well. That was great. I like her music. It has a different twist. It's not your normal country music. And Brian, you were tapping
your
shoes. What?
I'm sorry?
You were tapping your shoes, Mark, I could tell.
I was, actually. And you know what? It's just like food. You go from place to place, the food is a little different. So there's no reason why California shouldn't have their own flavor of country music.
Yeah, we had a band on, gosh, just a couple of years ago, now a year ago, called the Moonshine Bandits. Was one of my favorite groups too, and they got a different kind of sound. It comes from California. It's kind of a country and rap type music, and I think she's onto something there. I think being in Los Angeles,
yeah,
type of music, while she keeps it that bluesy sound with the country cowgirl, I love that. Anyway,
I've always had a little bit of an edge to it too.
Yeah,
you know,
it does.
Just a little edge to it. Yeah.
Well, you got anything else you want to add there, Weinzog? Because we actually have got like five minutes.
Well,
no, we're almost done.
No, you cut me off when we were talking about the jalapenos, and I was gonna let her know how much of a wuss you are when it comes to spices.
You didn't
tell her that you actually take the seeds out of the jalapeno before you stuff the butter in.
No, I didn't. Hey, I got, you know, I was trying to act like I was tough, but yeah, it's true. I do take out all the seeds and all that white stuff inside the jalapeno before I put the peanut butter and raspberry jam inside. But yeah, she doesn't have to know all that.
You realize, look, you got to realize I'm not on Facebook, so I can't throw you under the bus there. So I got to, you know, I've got an hour and a half, you know, of limited time to get you somehow. So there you go.
you did. Well, are you going to still be on hiatus on Facebook for a while?
I'm on hiatus. I am on hiatus. And, you know, it'll be a while, but I'm actually realigning my schedule a little bit and trying to do a little bit more with a little less of a territory that I'm in right now. You know, I do a lot of driving, so things are gonna change, but yeah, I'm gonna stay on hiatus for a little bit, you know, a little bit more, and then of course, you know, I'll be back wreaking havoc on your life as usual,
yeah.
And whatever else I can wreak havoc on. But for now, I guess the Facebook world can be rest assured that I am not going to be out there trying to destroy your lives.
Well,
so
we
you
will
can
miss
all,
you. Not,
you can all
not
sleep
really.
Easy.
Yeah, we'll miss you, not really, but I'm trying to be nice. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Don't forget, tomorrow night we have the Untamed Chef. He comes on at 9 p.m. East Coast time, 6 p.m. West Coast time. And then Tuesday we have our good buddy John Dilley and Def Conversations, all about hot sauce world. And I can see those hot sauce guys all scrambling to make a jalapeno hot sauce for Kalish. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Wednesday, our good buddy Chef Christo, the Christo Show, Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. And his last show was fantastic. Well, all shows are good. We had a really great show this week. And, Brian, when you get done with your new responsibilities and your hiatuses and all the other things you're doing, one of these days we're going to get you set up to do your little wine czar show. But
Believe it or not, I'm working on it. I'm working on it as we speak.
I know. The crowd is just on pins and needles. Anyway, everyone have a nice weekend. And speaking of Moonshine Bandits, I'm going to end off the show. Actually, I think Kalish would like this song. It's called Whiskey River. And since she was talking about sweet potato whiskeys and vodka, everyone have a nice weekend. We will see you next Saturday again, same place and same time. Have a nice one.
Yes.
Drink, 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 drink,
drink some beer.
Well, we jumped in our truck for a midnight ride, and we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer.
Yes, we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer. Drink some beer.
Well, I've been known not to walk the line. I find myself drinking on company time. Pour me some whiskey.
Whiskey, whiskey.
I want some whiskey.
Whiskey, whiskey.
Get up on the table now, break that bottle now. Drink, 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 drink. I could raise some hell and I could do it well. Ain't nothing to a boy that could dump a few shells. Going rack in the back, old Jack in the sack. Head hitting on the dash while holding hair back. Now Johnny Cash rapped and he loved this track. Tell mama I'm a rebel, thank Hank for that. Tell mama I'm a rebel, thank Hank for that.
Well, we jumped in our truck for a midnight ride, and we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer.
Yes, we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer. Drink some beer.
Well, we've been known not to walk the line. We stumble damn near every night. Pour us some whiskey.
Whiskey. Whiskey.
We want some whiskey.
Whiskey. Whiskey.
Whiskey River, set me free.
On the table now, break that bottle now. Drink, 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 drink. Hey waitress, go ahead and get me some. But if it ain't about whiskey, don't bring me none. And I ain't walked the line, cause I'm a rebel son. I'm a tattooed redneck outlaw.
Well, we jumped in our truck for a midnight ride, and we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer.
Yes, we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer. Drink some beer.
Two shot, three shot, four. Raise your glass and hit the dance floor. Now put them on my tab and give me four more. One beer, two beer, three beer, four. Now whiskey and women gon' treat me right. I'ma raise a little hill till I see a little light. I get kicked out of bars almost every night because I live these songs that I write.